fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. The cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be ate at the hamburger fry. The cow's well done.
Good morning, this is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. As Kate mentioned, we have on the line John Stauber, director of the Center for Media and Democracy and co-author of the book Mad Cow USA. John, welcome back to KBOO.
Thanks, Kathleen. Happy to be on KBOO.
Thanks for being with us. Now, there have been several stories in the news recently about Mad Cow, and I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the significance of that. In Canada, I don't know whether it's the fourth or fifth case of mad cow disease in a cow raised in Alberta has been found. Do you know the statistics?
I believe that's the fourth Canadian mad cow and the sixth so far in North America.
Oh, okay. And then we also had the Secretary of Agriculture of the U.S. saying he anticipates no change in the status of beef or cattle imports to the U.S. from Canada. In Japan, I believe they reinstituted the ban on U.S. beef. Is that right?
That's right. Japan, unfortunately, in November, lifted their ban on U.S. beef imports into Japan. And I say it's unfortunate because the Japanese government had does have a very strict standard. It's the correct standard. They test all their domestic animals before consumption for mad cow disease, and they forbid any feeding of slaughterhouse waste products that spread mad cow disease, like meat and bone meal and blood meal, to cattle. They imposed a ban on any U.S. beef coming into Japan as of December 23, 2003, when the first U.S. mad cow was discovered. The United States has refused to ban the feeding of slaughterhouse waste to cattle and has refused to institute food safety testing and has a very minimal testing program for mad cow disease. And it was Japan who backed down and said, well, we'll take your beef of 20 months or older despite that fact. Now Japan has shut the border again because one of the Japanese requirements was that no spinal columns from U.S. beef come to Japan because spinal cords are one of the most infectious parts of the animal. And Japan's inspectors found a spinal column in some U.S. beef, so they've reimposed their ban. But my analogy is it's a little like the Japanese inviting a robber into their home and then getting upset because the robber had mud all over his boots and saying, okay, get out of here until you take your shoes off and then you can come back. The U.S. Clearly has a very serious problem with mad cow disease. We now know we've been amplifying and spreading it in the U.S. for a decade. We have continued feeding billions of pounds of slaughterhouse waste, including cattle fat contaminated with cattle protein and including cattle blood back to cattle. We're not taking the steps we need to control the disease, and we've forced back open the Japanese market until this latest flap.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what you just said about we now know we've been spreading it for more than a decade?
Yeah, it's very fascinating to see what's become factual knowledge on this issue over the last year and a half. In November of 2004, a cow in Texas tested positive for mad cow disease. Everyone paying attention thought, indeed, this was definitely mad cow disease because this cow had been tested twice on what are called the quick tests and come up positive both times. That animal was then retested by the U.S. Department of Agriculture at their laboratory in Ames, Iowa. And lo and behold, the USDA announced this cow did not have mad cow disease. So this Texas cow, suspected since November 2004 to have mad cow disease, was declared free of mad cow disease. Finally, just last June of 2005, the Inspector General, the investigative arm within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, managed to force the USDA to conduct the proper test on that Texas animal, and it was shown definitely to have mad cow disease. That led to a very secretive internal investigation by the USDA, and in July or August of last year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced that this animal infected in Texas was almost certainly infected many years earlier by eating other infected U.S. cattle. It had spent its entire life in Texas. It was not an imported animal. This strain of mad cow disease was different than the Canadian strain. They identified 12 feed companies that were supplying the farm on which this Texas mad cow was raised with feed. However, they refused to identify those companies publicly, nor would they identify the farm. And that essentially has made it impossible for independent investigators like myself or reporters from the New York Times, who have been following this issue, to do our own digging. But the admission is now, indeed, mad cow disease, a different strain than the Canadian strain, has been amplifying and spreading through U.S. feed for a decade. Still, despite this admission, the U.S. is allowing the beef industry to take slaughterhouse waste from dairy cows and beef animals and turn it into fat and protein supplements for cattle. And, of course, all this is made possible by a horrific lack of investigative reporting by any mainstream media, and the public being led to believe that these feeding practices that spread the disease have stopped and that we really don't have the disease here.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I saw a report that said that the U.S. continues to violate World Health Organization guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Does that overlap with what you're just saying, or is that something different?
No, that overlaps. I'm assuming the report you read was referring to the fact that the World Health Organization, for over a decade now, has said that the feeding of mammalian slaughterhouse waste back to cattle should be stopped. And what we're doing here in the U.S. is we are still feeding billions of pounds a year of cattle blood back to cattle as protein supplement. For instance, there are many products on the market in the United States and Canada that are called calf milk replacer or calf starter. And when cows bear their calves, especially on dairy operations, those calves are taken off their mother's milk and put on calf starter and calf milk replacer, whose protein source is often cattle blood. We've known for a decade that blood can transmit mad cow type diseases. There's no screening tests right now to identify which blood is infected and keep that from being used in the feed. So this practice of weaning calves on cattle blood, which is illegal in Japan, Korea, and all the EU nations, is widespread here in North America. That's also why I say it's really a tragedy for Japan to have ever reopened its market to the U.S., because the U.S. is violating World Health Organization standards. The U.S., even at this late date, is refusing to stop the practice that spreads mad cow disease. And they're getting away with it because our testing system is a joke. There is no food safety testing here in the United States like exists in Japan and Britain and Germany and Italy and other countries where they've effectively dealt with mad cow disease by stopping the dangerous feeding of cattle to cattle and by testing animals before consumption. We don't do either of those here in the United States, but everyone thinks we do because the beef industry and the USDA are in some cases just simply lying about our regulations and their effectiveness here.
Is it the pressure from the beef industry that keeps the testing from being done adequately? What causes that?
Yeah, in my opinion, having been researching this for 15 years and written Mad Cow USA in 97, a book that predicted this outcome, the United States government has consistently worked on behalf of the biggest corporate players in the beef industry, companies like Cargill and Tyson, to allow these companies to continue taking a waste product, the half of every slaughtered cow that is unfit for human consumption, and ship that off to rendering plants and cook it into fat and protein that gets fed back to these animals. That's what causes mad cow disease. That's what amplifies and spreads it. That's what we're continuing to do in the United States. And it's very lucrative to the big factory farm producers to be able to take what's essentially a waste product, the half of every animal unfit for human consumption, and turn it into a resource, a food resource, fat and protein supplements to feed back to their animals. So the U.S. government, and this is coming out of the Bush administration at the highest levels, is acting to preserve and protect Cargill and Tyson's continuing to feed slaughterhouse waste to their animals so they can produce cheap meat and flood the international market.
I read about a group, I think it's called RCAF. Is that like a small player in the scenario that you're talking about, or do they have significance?
Well, RCAF is a really interesting organization because this is I believe it stands for Rancher and Cattleman's Legal Fund. I'm probably botching that, but it's R-CAF, C-A-L-F, is an organization that truly represents the small-scale ranchers. Most of the organizations that claim to represent small farmers and ranchers, like the Farm Bureau or like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, are really sold out to the biggest corporate interests in factory livestock production. RCAF, on the other hand, is a fairly new organization, and it really does represent the small ranchers and farmers, and they've filed legal suits. They've worked with Dr. Stanley Prusner, the Nobel Prize-winning scientist out of University of California, San Francisco, and they've tried to prevent Canadian beef from coming into the U.S. market. My beef with RCAF is that they have not aggressively gone after the existence of mad cow disease here in the United States, but they are certainly an honorable organization that is trying to represent their members, who are the smaller ranchers and farmers.
I'm speaking with John Stauber of the Center for Media and Democracy and also co-author of Mad Cow USA. So do you think it's important to talk about the connection between the cow-to-people connection, or is that more than is necessary at this point?
Well, I think the cow-to-people connection is critical to discuss. Here's what's going on. Right now, worldwide, in the 10 years since it was first noticed that people are dying of this horrific dementia disease called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, having become infected from eating mad cow beef, The death toll worldwide that we're aware of is still under 200 people. That's good news because millions of people in Britain alone were exposed to infected beef. The bad news is that this disease, this horrific dementia disease, has an invisible incubation period in people that can last decades. There are no doubt thousands of people who are going to die yet from eating infected beef. Now, what's especially alarming is that just in the past 2 years, the government of Britain has announced that they've seen at least two people dead of human mad cow disease who they believe became infected through the human blood supply. And what happened, according to the government of Britain, is that before they banned the use of their own human blood for blood products and transfusions back in 97, people who had eaten mad cow beef in Britain and were invisibly incubating the human version of the disease gave blood and infected the British blood supply. This is very frightening because once a strain of TSE, transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, this type of disease, a prion disease, once it moves into a new species, like mad cow disease has moved into people, then its most efficient transmission route is going to be from person to person. That's why if you give blood today in Portland, you'll be asked how much time you spend in Britain. And if you spent considerable time in Britain or other countries with mad cow disease, you won't be allowed to give blood. I think the really frightening scenario is U.S. blood infected with U.S. mad cow disease. And that is one reason why we absolutely have to take the steps that Britain, Japan, and other countries have taken, shut down these feeding practices, stop feeding slaughterhouse waste, because we risk losing access to our own human blood supply. We risk an epidemic of human mad cow disease spread through human blood products and spread through infected surgical instruments. You know, when somebody with the human form of mad cow disease or even the sporadic Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which means we don't know what caused it, undergoes surgery, or if they die and undergo an autopsy, all those surgical and autopsy utensils have to be permanently destroyed because even autoclaving surgical instruments used on a victim of mad cow disease will not destroy the infectious agent, this infectious prion protein, on those instruments. So for all these reasons, we need to now really take the steps that other countries have taken. But as long as these PR campaigns from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Industry are successful in preventing most Americans from getting this news, there's no outrage, there's no pressure on the government and on the beef industry to do the right thing.
Yeah, it seemed like when there was the U.S., the information on U.S. cases, that sort of activated some interest in that area, but now that interest has died down, and I don't hear much about campaigns to change that.
That's right, and organizations like ours and like the Consumers Union, Dr. Michael Hansen, and the Center for Food Safety in Washington, D.C., have been filing petitions, have been holding news conferences, have been speaking out in interviews. But the mainstream media, for the most part, is accepting advertising dollars from McDonald's and Tyson and Cargill. You see plenty of instances where the meat industry is pouring money into the mainstream media. And I think a big part of the problem is the mainstream media doesn't want to lose advertising revenues, and they don't want to end up like Oprah Winfrey, who tried to warn us on a program that she held on mad cow risks in the United States way back in 1996, April of 96, about the fact that these feeding practices were going on and that the disease may spread here. We now know that even as Oprah held that program, there were cases of mad cow disease that were going unnoticed in Texas because this Texas animal I described earlier, this older animal that was confirmed with mad cow disease last year, became infected by eating already infected animals. So this whole story has been covered up by the media, who've been intimidated by the food disparagement lawsuit against Oprah, which forced her and her guest Howard Lyman to spend years of their lives and millions of dollars of Oprah's money defending her right to air that program, and by a mainstream media that is not wanting to upset their big beef industry advertisers.
Can you just give a brief synopsis of what you see as the best possible scenario regarding this and the worst possible scenario?
Well, first of all, for people who are listening who are wondering what to eat, my advice would be to make sure that any beef you purchase is certified organic. In fact, I think that since pigs are fed to pigs and cattle are fed to pigs, that the best advice for any U.S. Meat consumer is search out animals that are certified organic, meat that's certified organic, work with local producers to make sure they're not weaning their animals on cattle blood protein and other products, that their animals are never fed any slaughterhouse waste products, and really become a conscientious and responsible consumer. But since the regulations and policies, or the lack of regulations and policies, this continued feeding of slaughterhouse waste to cattle is happening in the U.S., I think a bigger risk may be losing access to our blood supply, or blood supply becoming infected, or surgical instruments spreading the disease. So what we really need is we need a policy and regulation regime here in the U.S. that would do exactly what Britain, Germany, France, Italy, Japan have done, a total ban on feeding any slaughterhouse waste to livestock, and food safety testing of animals for mad cow disease before consumption. That's what we need. It's a very frustrating issue because most Americans obviously have believed the PR and the spin that's been pumped out by the U.S. government. There's not a sense of urgency or outrage. And yet, as I said, what we know, what the U.S. government has confirmed in the last half a year, is that we've had mad cow disease in the United States amplifying and spreading for a decade. So I think the worst case scenario is simply that the current situation will continue, that we'll continue in the United States weaning calves on cattle blood and on products containing cattle fat contaminated with cattle protein. The disease will continue to amplify and spread in our livestock. People will become infected. Our blood supply will become infected. And 20 years from now, we'll be talking about how incredibly stupid it was that the U.S. didn't take the steps that we knew we should have taken way back in the early 90s. To prevent the spread of the disease.
John Stauber, I want to thank you very much. How could people contact your organization or get more information on this very quickly?
You can Google Mad Cow USA, and that'll get you right to our website. Our website is prwatch.org, like publicrelationswatch.org. And the Organic Consumers Association has a great website, but I would say just Google Mad Cow or Mad Cow USA, and you'll find their website, you'll find our website, and you'll find some industry websites also, but I'm sure KBOO listeners can tell the difference.
Okay. John, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Kathleen.
That was John Stauber, director of the Center for Media and Democracy, co-author of Mad Cow USA. This is Kathleen Stevenson. Stay tuned for Andrew Geller and People Rise Up.
The stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cowell hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed.